Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. If you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or in your own Bible, the Gospel of Luke, we're actually looking at the last three verses of that Gospel. Luke 24, beginning with verse 50. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, your word tells us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. Father, we pray this morning that as we read your word, that you would feed us, that you would nourish us, that we might be transformed, that we might grow through your holy word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Luke 24, beginning with verse 50. Then he, Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis 48. As we continue our study of Joseph, we just have a few more weeks left in our study of Joseph. Genesis 48 this week. After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will make of you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.' And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Paddan to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, 'Whose are these?' Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons, whom God has given me here.' And he said, 'Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were dim with the age, so he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also.' Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, 'The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth.' When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, 'Not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head.' But his father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will pronounce blessing, saying, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you rather than to your brothers one mountain slope that I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Joseph was the great-grandson of Abraham. And out of all the peoples, out of all the families of the earth, God called Abraham. God called Abraham and made covenant with Abraham. Out of all the peoples, out of all the families in all the earth, God promised to be the God of Abraham and the God of Abraham's descendants. Joseph was the great-grandson of Abraham. Joseph was the son of Jacob. Jacob was the youngest son of Isaac, whom God renamed Israel. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Israel, and he was the favorite son. He was the favored son. Joseph had lived most of his life in Egypt. By the time of our passage, he had lived somewhere between 30 and 40 years in the land of Egypt. When he was 17, he was sold into slavery. He was sold by his 10 older brothers who hated him, who were jealous of him, who wanted to be rid of him. The brothers then deceived their father. They tricked Israel into thinking that Joseph was dead. But he was very much alive. First a slave, then he was in prison, all in Egypt. Now, at that time, Egypt was the most prosperous land in the world. Egypt was the most technologically advanced nation in the world. They had made developments in, they had made strides in math and agriculture and architecture and medicine. In Egypt, in slavery, in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And after 13 years, God used events in Joseph's life and circumstances in Joseph's life to elevate him from prison to prince. Pharaoh himself, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, made Joseph second in power and authority, next only to the throne, only to himself. Pharaoh also renamed Joseph when he made him a prince of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah. And this was how Joseph was known in Egypt. He was known by his Egyptian name. Pharaoh also gave Joseph an Egyptian wife. Her name was Asenath. She was the daughter of an Egyptian priest. So now Joseph, who was the great-grandson of Abraham, a son of Israel, heir of God's covenant, he had an Egyptian identity. He was part of the kingdom of Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph also had two children, two sons by his Egyptian wife. The firstborn he named Manasseh. Now, the name is significant. It's significant because he gave his firstborn a Hebrew name, not an Egyptian name. Manasseh is a Hebrew name. Joseph had not become completely assimilated into Egyptian society. And Manasseh, the name means in Hebrew, it means forget. Forget. In Egypt, God was enabling Joseph to forget the hardship, to forget the trials, to forget the sorrow that he endured at the hands of his brothers. Now, not that it was erased from his mind, not that it was erased from his memory. You know as well as I do that that does not happen. Hardships and trials and sorrows are not erased. Those memories often remain indelible despite our desire to forget. But the fact is that God can heal those wounds. God healed Joseph's wounds, and his firstborn son reminded him of that. The second-born son Joseph named Ephraim, again, another Hebrew name, one that means fruitful. Forget and fruitful. Not only had God healed Joseph and helped him forget the past, but God also blessed him in Egypt, made Joseph fruitful in Egypt, not only the work of his hands, but also through his family. Joseph's second-born son reminded him of God's blessings in Egypt. Now, in our passage this morning, Joseph has already been reconciled to his brothers. Joseph already forgave them for what they did. He forgave their envy. He forgave their hatred. He forgave them for selling him into slavery. In our passage, Joseph has already been reunited with his father. After being separated for 22 years, they were brought together. In fact, Israel and all his sons and all of their families had moved to Egypt to be with Joseph, to be provided for by Joseph. During a time of a severe famine where there would be no rain and no crops and no food, but Egypt had food, and Joseph provided all of his family with food. At the time of our passage, 17 years have passed since Israel moved to Egypt. 17 years. 17 years of living, 17 years of aging, 17 years had passed. The famine had ended 12 years before. Now there was rain, now there were crops, now there was food to be had, but God's people had remained in Egypt. They had settled in Egypt. And now we're told that Jacob was ill. Israel was dying. So Joseph was told about the state of his father, and he went to see him, and he brought with him his two sons. He brought with him Manasseh and Ephraim. Forget and fruitful. And by now, Joseph's sons were probably in their early 20s. They have grown up the sons of a prince of Egypt. They've grown up sons of the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, leading a life of privilege. Now, they of course know their extended family. They know their uncles and their cousins. They know their grandfather from the land of Canaan, but Egypt is their home. Egypt is all they know. It's where they've always lived. It's where they were educated. It's where their friends are. It's where half of their family resides. Their mother's family lives in Egypt. And as the sons of Joseph, as the sons of a prince of Egypt, there's the possibility that they themselves might rise to prominence, that they themselves might serve Pharaoh in some capacity, just like their father before them. But this encounter in our passage changes all of that. This encounter with Israel changes all of that. This encounter with their grandfather changes their lives and changes their future. Now look at verse 5 again if you have your passage open. Jacob speaks these words to Joseph. Israel says, "And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine." Jacob adopts the sons of Joseph. Israel adopts. By these words, Israel adopts Manasseh and Ephraim. He claims them as his own. In other words, Manasseh and Ephraim are now sons of Israel. They take the place of their father among all of his brothers. Now, instead of one foot in the people of Israel and the other foot in the kingdom of Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim belong to Israel fully, wholly. They belong to God's covenant people. They belong to the Lord fully and wholly. Now, as you read the rest of the Old Testament, you won't find Joseph's name listed in the sons of Israel, the tribes of Israel. You won't find it. Instead, you'll find Manasseh and Ephraim. So a good question is, how does that make 12? Isn't it always the 12 tribes of Israel? Isn't 11 plus 2, 13? Well, yes. But the tribe of Levi, Israel had a son, Levi. And the tribe of Levi, the sons of Levi, became the tribes of priests. They became the tribe of those set aside to serve the Lord in the tabernacle, in the temple. Their inheritance was not the land, but the Lord. Manasseh and Ephraim were adopted as sons of Israel. So how about you? How about you? Have you been adopted? Have you been adopted? Like Manasseh and Ephraim, have you been adopted into the people of God wholly and fully? Do you too belong to God's covenant people? Do you belong to the Lord wholly and fully? Well, in Jesus Christ, you are. Through Jesus Christ, you can. Through the crucified and resurrected Son of God, the Lord adopts you. He makes you his own fully and wholly. He claims you as his own. In Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, you are a son of the Heavenly Father. You are a daughter of the Heavenly Father. You're a child of the living God, wholly and fully. You're part of God's covenant people. You're part of God's family, fully and wholly. By faith, you are a descendant of Joseph, a descendant of Israel, a descendant of Abraham. Now, like Manasseh and Ephraim, maybe you only know Egypt. Maybe you just know Egypt. Maybe you only knew Egypt. Egypt is the world. Egypt is the kingdom of the world, outside of the Lord, outside of God, outside of the covenant. It's where you live. It's your home. It's what you know. It's where you were educated. It's where your family is. It's where your friends are. It's what shapes you and forms you and influences you. Or perhaps like Manasseh and Ephraim, you have one foot in Egypt and one foot in the people of God. You live in the world, but you have family in the people of God. Perhaps your parents belong to the people of God, or your grandparents, or your brothers and sisters, or your spouse. Maybe you're not quite there all the way. You know it, you know about it, but you're not sure which is your true home. Well, God can change that. The Father can change that. He can change you. Change your future. He adopts you through his Son. And that's a gift, which means you don't earn it, which means you don't deserve it, but you can only receive it through faith, by faith, in the Lord Jesus. Have you? Will you? After adopting Manasseh and Ephraim, Israel calls them to him so that he might bless them. So that as head of the family, as head of God's people, he might place God's blessing on them. Joseph then brings his sons to his father. He has Manasseh on the right and Ephraim on the left. He has the oldest on the right and the youngest on the left. Then Israel places his hands on their head to offer a blessing. And this is the blessing he gives them. This is verse 15 again. Jacob says, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Israel places the blessing of the Lord on his adopted sons, The blessing of the Lord who had shepherded him and redeemed him so that they might be fruitful, that their descendants might be a multitude. Now, we're told when Israel reached out his hands to place them on his heads, he crossed arms. It's kind of a strange scene. So Joseph brings his boys up, the oldest, the youngest, and he crosses arms. Instead of the right hand going on the oldest like it was supposed to, because the right hand gave the greater blessing, it was supposed to go on the older son, he crosses hands and he put his right hand on the younger son, on Ephraim, and his left hand on the older son, Manasseh. Joseph saw this and he tried to correct his father. He tried to stop him. He thought Israel had made a mistake. We're told he couldn't see that well. So he tried to correct his father, and this is his father's reply. This is verse 19. Israel says, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater." Jacob knew that God was going to bless the younger son, Ephraim, even greater than the older son, Manasseh. That's exactly what happened to Jacob. He was the younger son. And God chose to bless him over his older brother, Esau. God is not bound to birth order categories. God's not bound to age, and he's not bound to race, and he's not bound to ethnicity. God blesses whom he will out of grace, out of love. And if you continue to read the Old Testament, you see that Ephraim rises to prominence over Manasseh. Jacob blessed his children. And the Father, our Heavenly Father, blesses his children. He blesses those adopted in Jesus. He blesses you. And he blesses you with even greater blessings than the sons of Israel. You are blessed with forgiveness of sin. In Jesus, God no longer counts them against you. He no longer sees them in you. When the Father looks at you, he sees a son that he loves, a daughter that he loves. He doesn't see your sin. In Jesus, the Father blesses you with eternal life, life forever, life after death, life with him. Forever with your Father, in your Father's house. Our New Testament reading was the end of the Gospel of Luke. And in this passage, Jesus was about to leave his disciples. He was about to leave his followers. And listen again to verse 50. This is from our Luke reading. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Just like Jacob, Jesus lifts up his hands and he blesses. He blessed his brothers. He blessed his followers. He blessed his friends. And with the blessing of Jesus, God's people were fruitful. They multiplied. The kingdom grew. The church grew. More and more people heard the good news of Jesus, that they too were adopted as children of God with the blessings of forgiveness and life. And the Lord God blesses you to do the same. Jesus Christ blesses you to do the same, to be fruitful, to grow so that the family of God grows, that the blessings of Jesus increase and abound through you. Through this church, through covenant, as children of the Father, go forth with the blessing of Jesus. Go forth with the blessings of your brother. Be fruitful that the kingdom may grow, that the church may abound. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us through him and in him. That by him we are your children, adopted to be yours, claimed by you. And you have blessed us to be fruitful and to increase. And Father, we pray that for your kingdom. We pray that for your church, that the gospel might go forth and be fruitful and multiply, and that more and more may know the good news of your son, and that your family, the, family that we are so privileged to be a part of might increase. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.